Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Your Money Your Life podcast, episode 173. I really liked what I did last week when I recorded on Wednesday, a day earlier. So I'm doing it again so it can be out early Thursday morning. I think a lot of people are listening or watching on their commute, able to get it early Thursday. So I'm going to try to stick with that schedule. But of course, wherever you're listening, however you're listening or watching, make sure you like, subscribe, 5-star rate and review our podcast, our YouTube channel, our content, so we can keep doing this every week. We'll get right into it. There was a decent amount to discuss this week. It was a quieter week. The big thing is what's going on with the debt ceiling. So let's dive into the markets and our quick market update. So first and foremost, as I mentioned, the debt debate is the biggest thing that's going on right now. So of course, we know that the U.S. is at risk of a default if we don't raise the debt ceiling. And that's coming down. It's a little bit over a week now. And House Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, is negotiating with Biden and other Democrats on the finer points of the debt deal. We need to get a debt deal done, which will happen. I mean, there's heightened worries, and I think that's why the market's pulled back a little bit over the last few days. But I think it'll, you know, once we get a deal done, you'll see the market rise up, because that's really the biggest theme in the market right now. Earnings are kind of quiet. Inflation numbers aren't out right now. We'll get some more in a couple of weeks. But the debt ceiling, that's the big thing. And so that's what's driving the markets. Again, it's still muted. It's quiet. Markets pulled back a little bit, but it's nothing earth-shattering right now when it comes to the market. So that's the big market update. If we move on over to other business income, business news. So this new drug, this new weight loss drug, is actually a diabetes drug. I'm sure you've heard of it. A lot of celebrities, wealthier people are taking it. And it's actually Ozempic. It's a drug that's a diabetes drug, but it's actually shown to help people lose a lot of weight and quickly. And the Ozempic is actually a shot that people take. I think it's once every 2 weeks or once every month. And it's approved. It's FDA approved to treat type 2 diabetes, not weight loss, but it actually has been shown to help people lose a bunch of weight. So if you've seen people that like lost a bunch of weight rapidly, especially if they're more wealthy, they're probably potentially on this drug. And it's now Pfizer is creating a pill that does the same thing. It's a competitor of Ozempic. So it's a pill that you can take. They did phase 2 clinical trials on this pill where patients are taking Pfizer's daily pill, and they lost a similar amount of weight, a little 0.1 more than those that were taking Ozempic, which is Novo Nordisk's, the company's injectable Ozempic drug to fight and to shed pounds. And they did it almost twice as fast with the Pfizer pill. So they have cracked the code on these weight loss stuff, it sounds like, and now they're just going to be selling a pill to lose weight. I always thought weight loss pills were fake. Like, you couldn't really use them, but apparently you can. They've created it. Remember weight loss pills? That's always been a scam. We've known that's always been a scam. It's the easiest thing in the book to shill. Weight loss pills, get rich quick schemes, easiest thing in the book. But now they're actually getting you a pill that could potentially help you lose weight. But we know it's going to come with incredible side effects. I don't even know what those are, but the people that have taken it, there are incredible side effects on Ozempic, from vomiting to a whole bunch of other stuff that I've seen. But there is going to be no get rich quick scheme, folks. So make sure you do the work. And you don't know these pills. You don't know what's going to happen with them. I'd be careful for those out there considering. But moving on to more news, Montana has actually banned. It's the first state to ban TikTok. So they officially banned it. You will not, just similar to like betting apps, when you log into a betting app and you're in a state where you can't bet. Now with TikTok in Montana, pretty soon, I think it's a few weeks where it goes into effect, you are no longer going to be able to use TikTok. And TikTok is now suing Montana over this ban, saying it violates free speech. And a group of creators also sued the Treasury state in Montana. The suits could set legal precedents for other states considering bans. So this is going to be interesting to see how this falls out. Can a state ban an app? Is that violating free speech? I think that, you know, they have to have pretty substantial security risks, being that TikTok is owned by a Chinese company. There have to be pretty substantial security risks to be able to get away with this ban, because you're seeing it on the federal and state level. They've already banned TikTok. Now they're saying that consumers aren't able to use it. That's going to be pretty tough. It has to have real substantial credence behind these claims. If they do, then yeah, you might see other states copy this ban, because many, many U.S. government officials and state officials are very, very afraid of the TikTok app. Americans, back to the housing market. So we've been talking about the housing market for a while, and we saw that home prices had their biggest annual drop in more than 11 years. So last month, the median existing home price fell to $389,000, down from 1.7%, down 1.7% from a year earlier. Western half of the country seeing the most of the declines. And that's, you know, that's what we're seeing. Again, it's a slow churn. It's takes a lot slower for housing to slow down, because before people go up their house, they'll sell their 401k, they'll sell their stocks in their 401k, they'll sell savings, they'll do whatever it takes. But you're seeing the prices start to drop, and you're going to see that corresponded with an employment rise. You're going to see even prices drop even more, as people need to sell quickly if that's the case. So more to watch on that front. We've been following that and calling that for a while, and it's not done yet. It's still going to continue in the next six, you know, it's called 6 or so months. We'll be seeing that. The big talk again is credit card debt. Americans failed to reduce their credit card debt from Q4 to Q1 for the first time since 2003. Gen Z is especially struggling to pay off holiday hauls, and that's before student debt payments resume. Remember, student debt payments are supposed to resume. I think it was June. Was it not June where Biden said? I don't even know. But for those people out there, you now have that. And then you have credit card debt, which we have the highest credit card balance that consumers do ever. And again, it's because of one, the stimulus, a lot of things have gone away, and consumers are now dealing with high inflation, less jobs out there, real wages down, a lot of things that are affecting credit card, you know, debt and balances right now. And so for those, you know, go back to the budget, for those that need to realign yourself in this time where things are much, much different than prior, much, much different than prior. Now let's move over. We talked about the debt side. It's the debt limit. We talked about it. It seems to be both sides digging in. And Republicans, they're looking to get, they want substantial cuts. While the White House has offered to freeze discretionary spending, neither side is giving in, with roughly a week left before potential first step of the fall. Again, I think a deal gets done in the 11th to 12th hour. And we'll see that news more than likely come shortly, unless, you know, we could run into a default. So Meta had to sell. Is it Giphy? So Meta, they own this, I guess you could call it technology or app. But it was a massive write-down for them. I remember when the news came out that they bought it, but they had to sell Giphy to Shutterstock for $53 million, which is a massive write-down for the parent company, which is Facebook. So Giphy is a shareable GIF and micro video service. They bought it for $315 million in 2020, which is, wow, $315 million. They sold it for $53 million in a little bit over 3 years. It wasn't an option for them to hold on to the company. UK regulators ordered Facebook, Meta, to sell and offload the service, arguing that the merger was bad for competitors. The deal is expected to close next month, giving stock photo market marketplace Shutter's access to Giphy's 1.7 billion users. So they were forced to sell. It was a fire sale, forced to do it because of UK regulators, because it was a bad competition, because they own the marketplace, I guess, when it comes to micro video and shareable GIFs. And so they had to sell, and they took a huge write down for doing so, unfortunately for them. In more news, Peloton, man, it's an embattled company. Still love the bike. I ride the bike every day. I had a good workout this morning. But they're trying to lure back in folks by relaunching its app with three tiers. One of the tiers is free, right? It's an effort to widen customer base beyond the users who can drop $1,500 on a bike. And so they're doing it in tiers to draw people in. I think the content is a big upside for them. The subscription content, getting people on the tread, which is the treadmill, of course, and the bike, and the bike plus. So doing free stuff will be able to lure people into the content, the personalities, the instructors, which is another big factor for them. And then maybe people are like it so much, they want to go further. That's potential. That's potentially it. It becomes part of their routine. So that's what they're trying. Will it help the company? We'll see. I think the subscription revenue has to grow substantially to help get them to a place where they're feeling a little bit more stable, because they've been bleeding when it comes to a lot of different things right now. And so that's a big news for them. Speed of content, social media. The U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, he issued a report Tuesday warning about the potential dangers of social media. We've talked about this a few times in the podcast before. Is it dangerous for people to use it, especially for kids? Not only are they seeing stuff they could potentially not be seeing, they're also privy to just peer pressure, constant pressure from what they're seeing and body image issues. I think that's a real thing. I definitely think that this should be more locks for children using social media. For those that have kids out there, let me know what age you think it's appropriate for kids to have it. I don't think it should be appropriate, maybe till eighth grade, call it seventh. I don't know if kids have it before then, eighth or seventh grade, maybe high school, honestly. Just because it's so, so toxic at some points, especially if a young kid hasn't developed enough to know what's real, what's fake, know themselves enough. Those are so important factors for a young person. And I just don't think it's safe for children to really, really be diving into that platform just yet. Yeah, those are some important news updates. I am going to jump into the questions, rapid fire questions of the week. This is going to be good. What percentage of people make purchases due to FOMO? I'm going to say that's a good 50%. There's got to be a good 50% of people that are making decisions, purchasing decisions due to FOMO. 60%, and the answer is 60. 60% of people make purchases because of FOMO, mostly within 24 hours. So think about it. If your friend's going to XYZ concert, you're like, oh, I don't want to miss it. I got to go too. Your friend's going to this or going out for drink. Whatever it is, it's mostly FOMO and peer pressure. So it's good to be aligned and centered in whatever you want to do. And of course, sometimes you want entertainment and have fun. There is nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. What is the average? Oh, I like this one. What percentage of people age 16 to 24 work a summer job? All the 16 to 18 year olds got to. I would say even 16 to 22, just because they are in school or college potentially. I'm going to say that's a good. Let's give it 40%. 53%. I'm close again. 53% in April to July of 2022, ages of 16 to 24. They work a summer job and they do it, earn a little cash, go back to school in the fall, maybe continue working in the fall. But I was pretty close on both of those numbers, folks. I'm getting good at this. Folks, if you're not, please update me on your thoughts on the NBA Finals. It's coming due. I had the Lakers and the Heat in the finals. It looks like the Heat will get in, but the Lakers got swept. Denver's a really, really good team now. So I'm thinking I might be leaning Denver in the finals. I think the Heat have overplayed themselves remarkably. They've done a great job with incredible coaching, role players that have stepped up, Jimmy Butler going off. But I think Denver is a more complete team. I think they take it in six or seven games, which would be great, great to watch. Hopefully you all are keeping up with the wonderful summer, as well as a wonderful end of spring to start of summer. Yeah, I think we're wrapping up. Please stay safe on this long holiday weekend, and we will talk to you next week.